Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. We are not that far away from the gubernatorial election. And so here on Behind the Curtain, this is Paul Listick. We want to talk to the Democratic nominee for Illinois governor. That is J.B. Pritzker. He's here, no holds barred. We're going to talk about all the issues, and he's going to be candid with us. And so here we go. J.B., welcome to the podcast. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Paul.
You know what? I want to give you a minute. We all see the ads, and we see so many, you know, we know about some of the issues we'll talk about. But you know what? Take a minute and just tell people a little bit about your background so they understand from whence you came. We know you're rich.
Well, thank you. Let me begin by saying how honored I am to be the Democratic nominee for governor. And, you know, I think everything that we care about is under siege right now by a failed governor who continues to work against working families across the state of Illinois. It's one of the big reasons that I decided to run was because I think you want a governor who's actually standing up for working families and working people. I, you know, have spent my life trying to do big things to lift up people who need help. You know, that I've been a national leader in early childhood education for more than 20 years, and there are thousands of kids in the state of Illinois that get quality preschool and quality childcare because of the work that I've done, and 230,000 kids that are eligible to get school breakfast in school districts across the state that are in low-income areas because of the work that I've done. And then I founded 1871, which is now the number one small business incubator in the world. That's right here in Illinois. It's created thousands, in fact, more than 7,000 jobs and hundreds of companies. I think you and I first met when I was leading the effort to build the Illinois Holocaust Museum, which teaches every year more than 60,000 kids and 60,000 adults to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance every single year. So there are a lot of things that need to be done for the state of Illinois. We need to overcome the fiscal crisis that Bruce Rauner has brought upon the state. He's been the biggest deficit spender in state history. We need to make sure that we're making college more affordable for families, lower the cost of health care. I believe everybody deserves a doctor and deserves health care coverage. And then we've got to create jobs and raise wages in the state, something that I have a lot of experience doing. So I'm looking forward to the challenge of working for the people of Illinois to make sure that we make their lives better and lift up their standards of living.
All right. And by the way, that special we did called Site of Remembrance on the Holocaust Museum at its opening, you're right, you were part of it. I won an Emmy on that, so it was probably because you appeared in it. So thank you.
It was a joint effort. Thanks.
There you go. So I'm going to have only one request as we go throughout the issues, and that is, as I watch the various debates, I know that, you know, Rauner points at you and you point at Rauner, but I really want to know what you think about things. So with the one request that I would say, you know, don't go after Rauner on this. He'll have his chance someday, but I really want to hear what you think. What your plans are for the state. One last question.
Happy to do that. I mean, you know, it's a comparative election. People do have to make choices, but I am being very clear with people about what my priorities are, and I'll focus on those today.
I appreciate that. By the way, one of the things the governor does say, you never worked a day in your life. So tell us, what jobs have you had?
Well, you know, I think you know that I, in fact, founded a firm. I've been an entrepreneur. I've employed thousands and thousands of people right here in the state of Illinois in manufacturing jobs and service industry and so on. I'm very proud of my own record of creating jobs, putting aside the nonprofit small business incubator that's created lots of jobs. Proud of the record that I've had in private industry as well. So, you know, I've been successful. I think it's sad that the governor feels like he should make an attack like that. I think we're both very fortunate people and grew up in fortunate circumstances.
And I want to get one other sort of issue that keeps coming up so we can talk about it for a second and dismiss it, but with a different approach to it. The whole tax break you got, the $330,000 that you have paid back or are in the process of paying back on taxes, with the allegations being you removed the toilets from a mansion so that you can get that tax break. But I'm going to be upfront with you. Be honest, if I owned a mansion and I could get a tax break, I'm going to say I don't think you did what anybody else wouldn't do if they had the opportunity to do it. But that being said, that's not my question because I'm going to grant you that. But you do want to be the governor of the state of Illinois. So the specific question I have on that issue is, what do you say to Republicans and independents who might be thinking of voting for you this time around, if that presents a character issue for them. They just go, well, it just shows that, you know, he will find a way that could be problematic. So what do you say that is a character issue?
Well, first of all, I want to remind everybody this was an internal memo that was leaked for political purposes. In fact, this morning there was an article about the source of that leak, which was somebody associated with Bruce Rauner. And the truth is that we were, you know, there was a renovation project on a home. That renovation project was halted because it was unclear whether it would be sold or put up for rent. And subsequently, the project was restarted. All the taxes that were assessed were paid on that property. But of course, I stepped forward and have offered to pay, and I'm paying the amount of tax that was suggested in this most recent report, because I don't want to distract from what I think are the real issues. We need to fix the flawed tax system, the property tax system, not just in Cook County, but across the state of Illinois. There was a report earlier this year about many of those flaws. We know how to address those. We just need a governor who will actually try to do that. I intend to do that. In addition, I want to lower property taxes for everyone in the state. I put forward a plan that would actually do that. We have one of the worst property tax problems in the entire nation. We depend for most of our funding for schools on property taxes, when instead the state should step up to the plate, not local governments and property taxes. And again, my plan addresses that. So we need to make sure that we balance the budget and pay for our schools properly. But dealing with the property tax issue and the flaws in the system is a very high priority.
And let's talk about the system. Obviously, if you win as governor, the graduated income tax is very close to the top of your agenda. Here's what I'm also not going to do. I'm not going to ask you what the rates are, because I know you're not going to tell me. You're not ready to say. You've said it's going to be a process of negotiation, and I'll grant you that as well.
That's right.
And what you said is the middle class needs a break. But now my question, because that becomes a point of attack from the governor, which is you're not telling us because all of our rates are going up. So given the fact that you won't give us the rates, and I understand why, what assurance can you give the middle class, by definition or whatever, that says, look, here's how you can go to the bank on the fact that I am not raising your taxes, even though I'm not going to tell you the rates right now?
Okay, well, first of all, it's not that I'm hiding any rates. It's literally they have to be set by the legislature.
Yeah, you said it'll be a negotiation. You said that.
And I believe that we need to have Republicans at the table and Democrats at the table in order to do that. And very importantly, this can never happen unless the representatives of the people, the House of Representatives and the Senate, actually vote on it. And then it goes to a referendum of the people of the state of Illinois. So nothing's going to happen without a lot of input from representatives and the people themselves. So, but here's the assurance that I can give people. The vast majority of people in the state of Illinois will get a tax break. I really think that those who are wealthiest in the state, people like Bruce Rauner and me, need to step up and pay a little bit more, but it'll allow us to give everybody a tax break. Most states in the United States have a fair tax system, a graduated income tax system, and they're doing much better than we are in terms of job creation, in terms of dealing with their pension issues. And that's one of the big reasons that I want us to have a fair tax system, putting dollars back in the pockets of the middle class and people who are striving to get there actually means economic growth, because they're the most likely to actually spend those dollars. Not wealthy people, when they get a tax break, they don't spend those dollars. But people in the middle class are living paycheck to paycheck, and those dollars really mean something to those folks, and people are striving to get there. So I'm going to make sure that we've got a system that really benefits the vast majority of people in the state, and most importantly, create jobs by lowering property taxes.
And I hear that, and that's why I'm not going to ask you about race. But I will say this. I know you want to raise taxes on you and Rauner and folks at your level. I ain't at your level. A lot of people are not at your level. So for somebody that makes, I'm just trying to get a sense, $100,000, where does middle class kick in for you? Do you have even a sense of saying, hey, look, if you're making 50, you're not in the middle. If you're making 100, do you have a sense, just to give us a gut check on what middle class means?
Well, it's certainly true. Bruce Rauner and me, we are not in the middle class. And again, I think the most important aspect of this is to take a look at what the rates of taxes are that are being paid now by taxpayers. So just to remind you, people in the middle and people in the bottom half are paying 13% and 11% of their incomes in taxes. And that those are all the regressive taxes that they're paying, including the state income tax, which is regressive and flat, including property taxes and sales taxes. The burden is highest on people in the middle and people below the middle. But at the very top, people are paying half of that. That's not right. We just need to make it a little bit fairer for people, and that's what we're trying to do. So let's just take the one piece of our tax code where we can actually have a more progressive system, one that makes it a little bit fairer, and ask people to step up to the plate.
One of the things that won't happen is you're not going to get that graduated plan, and you've indicated this. There's got to be a constitutional amendment. We're not going to see it till 2021 if we see it. And so, of course, I get emails all the time from the Rauner organization saying, before that, JB is going to be raising the current flat rate, and then they do a little math thing. I'm sure you've seen these things. You know, here's how it went up under Pat Quinn, and that raised X billions. And so in order for JB to raise and pay for what he wants to, he's got to bring it up to, and the numbers get high. So what can you tell folks who are concerned about the road to the graduated income tax in terms of a raise in the flat tax before then?
Well, let's also just pay attention to the fact that the tax rate went up under Bruce Rauner, and he spent every dime of it. So this is a guy who talks out of both sides of his mouth on taxes. Fact is that I want to make it fairer and less expensive for people in the middle class. He wants to defend the most unfair tax system in the nation. That's what we've got. It's been rated that way in Illinois, the most unfair tax system in the nation. We just have to fix it. Now, we have enormous challenges to meet in the state that I want to go after. We've got to actually balance the budget. That's not something that this governor has proposed. I mean, 3 years we went where two of them without a budget because he was unwilling to compromise, a third year where he vetoed the budget, and a few Republicans had to work with Democrats to actually override his veto. And then here we are in the fourth year where actually his proposal was to raise property taxes by $1 billion. So there are real differences between Bruce Rauner and me on the subject of taxes. I'm trying to lower them on people who most need them lowered, people in the middle class, and he's trying to raise them.
Right, but before you get there, I hear you. But before you get there, the flat tax, that affects everybody. So whatever income we're making, I know it's a percentage of our income, but what do we have any sense of how high that might go prior to a graduated income tax?
That's not what I've proposed at all. I've said that there are other ways for us to bring revenue into the state, but also efficiencies in state government. Because remember how you balance a budget. I mean, it's not just revenue or taxes, rather. It's also we've got to bring some efficiencies and lower expenses in state government. That's another one. And then the third way, and this is the best way to bring revenue into the state, is to grow the economy. Now, Bruce Rauner created fewer jobs in his term than in the same period of time during his predecessor's term, who he called a miserable failure in job creation. We need to instead focus on actually growing our economy. And I put together a real plan that will help us create jobs. You can find it on my website at jbpritzker.com. It's focused around attracting big businesses, investing in infrastructure, helping small businesses grow because they really create two-thirds of all the jobs. And you know I've spent a lot of time and effort and helped a lot of people start and grow small businesses. This is something I think we can do all across the state. And I haven't forgotten central and southern Illinois where, frankly, people have, under Bruce Rauner, people have suffered because very few jobs have been created. The only jobs that have really been added anywhere in central and southern Illinois, for the most part, under Bruce Rauner, has been when a government entity grows. So I want to help people start private businesses all across the state. So we've got real differences about how you balance a budget. But in the next 2 years, I'm not talking here about raising the flat tax. In fact, I want a more fair tax and a progressive tax. And short of that, I've talked about legalizing marijuana. That's something that I believe we should do. It's a criminal justice reform issue. It's also a safety issue.
That's an income issue, revenue issue.
Yes, it is. It would bring in $700 million of new revenue to the state. So I think that's, nothing to sneeze at. And then we should look at sports betting, which has now been legalized by the Supreme Court. And those things, I think, will help us to balance a budget. But growing the economy is the best way to bring in revenue.
And we're going to talk about that. I have one last follow-up question on the taxes, which is, you know, you live in the city of Chicago. I live in the city of Chicago. And the problem is, even when you think of a modest level of tax at the state level, when you live in the city, property taxes here are just I wish I could remove my toilets if it would save me money on my property taxes, because it's crazy how high it is. So when the state comes into play, I think to myself, but you're also interacting with these huge taxes in the city. How does that innovate? When you think of your plan and your structure, do you think of this is what the state needs, or do you think of, and let's recognize people in, with all due respect to non-Chicagoans, but for folks in the city of Chicago, yeah, they are getting hit really hard too.
Yeah, well, just to remind you, you know, there are 54,000 people that have to apply for reassessments every year in Cook County alone to reassess their property tax. I mean, we have a property tax system that really doesn't work, and we've got to make sure. And there was an expose, I think you saw in the Chicago Tribune, I think a year ago, on the problems in the property tax system. We need to make sure that they've got the most up-to-date formulas, and that they're put into play in Cook County and across the state. But moving to the main point you were making, look, we're trying to make the tax system more fair for the middle class. So lowering local property taxes, lowering income taxes on people in the middle class and people striving to get there, that really accomplishes quite a lot. And that's what my plan would do. Bruce Reiner does not have any plan like that. He, in fact, has proposed raising property taxes by $1 billion. He says that he'd like to lower taxes at the state level, but when the tax increase was put into effect, he spent every dime of it, so he doesn't seem intent on doing anything that he's promised.
I'm sure you've seen a report today in the Sun-Times basically asking the question by Rosanna Marquez, what are we to do when half of Illinois voters say they've considered moving out? You've just talked about building business, and I know your response is there, but an ARP survey, JB, says people, they just want out of here. They're done.
Well, I'm glad you raised that, because the out-migration issue in Illinois is extraordinarily important. Let me give you two big reasons why that's occurring. One is property taxes. You hear it all the time, and I've talked about that. But the other is higher education. So 72,000 kids chose not to go to school in the state of Illinois under Bruce Rauner because of his cuts in higher education, because he made MAP grants much more uncertain, because people don't know if the faculty and the programs that they want at universities are going to be there. Our community colleges have been cut back, and that makes people either want to leave or not go to college. And when they leave the state, 70% of them don't come back. And these are our kids. They're also our best economic resources. We want them to stay in Illinois. That's why I put out a higher education plan that focuses on lowering the cost of college education, making it much more affordable for people. And for adults who went to college and are carrying college debt, I put forward a plan that will help them lower the cost of their college debt by lowering their interest rate. People have very high interest rates on their college loans. We can put hundreds or thousands of dollars back on the table every single year. And if you look at all the plans that I've proposed, and by the way, that's one that doesn't cost anything for the taxpayers, because we can just refinance their debt at a lower cost of debt for the state of Illinois than they can get in their college debt. But if you look at each one of my plans, right, about healthcare, about college affordability, you can see that many of these things don't cost anything, or at least they're very low cost, but they actually will raise people's standards of living. And that is the goal for our administration. I want to raise people's standards of living across the state. I want to raise their wages and create jobs so they have mobility. I want to make sure that they have health care available to them at a lower cost. And as we talked about, lowering the cost of college.
You know, let me follow up on higher ed for a moment, because, I mean, that boy, you want to talk about an area that took a hit over the last few years and the expectations of 30% cuts and all of that. I mean, it was really, really rough. And I'm a U of I grad, so I went to Urbana-Champaign, where I give a lot to that university. I was stunned to see sort of a report today that donations, contributions from alumni like myself, but they are down incredibly to the U of I. So once again, curious, we know where they get their funding. It's out of, you know, state monies and all that, but higher ed's taking a hit and people aren't giving as much. What can you do to improve that piece?
Well, we need to bring back stability to state government. We need to actually pass budgets every year. You know, when we went without a budget for 2 years, that was longer than any state in the history of the modern history of the United States. And that was because Bruce Rauner was unwilling to compromise. You just can't let these services or these universities diminish. And, you know, our reputations at our universities are diminished when we have this kind of instability. So we've got to make sure people know they can get their MAP grants from year to year so they can stay in college. We've got to make sure we've got bridging programs so that kids who have a hard time staying in college, meaning kids who come from communities of color or from challenging backgrounds, have the ability to actually make it in college. We need to make sure we're lifting up our reputation, not bad-mouthing the state the way that this current governor does. And people want the state to do their part to lift up higher education. That's something that's that a governor should be doing. This governor has threatened a 30% cut in higher ed. There's already been a 20% cut in higher ed because of his intransigence. There's just so much that we need to do, and we've got to get rid of the irresponsible governor we've got now.
All right. And by the way, I'll be going down to U of I in a couple of weeks. They're naming part of the library for me down there. I'm no J.B. Pritzker, but I'm doing what I can, So you're welcome to come down.
That's great, Paul. No, thank you very much for doing that, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in giving back. Let's talk about health care. You've mentioned that. I mean, the President Trump, you know, is doing everything he can to make sure anything that even looks like Obamacare is gone. But that's a federal program. How does Illinois survive if the president in the next couple of years continues? I mean, we've got, you know, challenges to pre-existing conditions. This stuff is just, this is critical. I remain neutral on the air, but some of that stuff is just scary.
Yeah, well, you know, first you want a governor who is willing to stand up to the Trump administration and to the Republicans in Congress when they try to take away a million people's health care in the state of Illinois, and that's what they're trying to do right now, and that's what they've been doing for the last 2 years. This governor's been silent, literally hasn't stood up and protected people in the state. He thinks it's okay to take away protection for people with pre-existing conditions. I don't. He vetoed a bill that would have protected people. I would sign a bill that would protect people. I also put forward a plan to expand health care coverage called Illinois Cares. And it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything because it allows people to buy into the state's health insurance system, when the key words being buy in. They would pay for the cost of coverage, which is much lower than the cost of a private health insurance plan. So that would allow middle-class families to put thousands of dollars back on the table for themselves, on their kitchen table, so that they could trade into this plan at a lower cost. And it allows small businesses to offer health insurance, which they can't currently afford to offer. And then for people who can't afford a private health insurance plan but don't get covered by Medicaid, they now would have an opportunity to buy coverage at thousands of dollars less. So this plan is a good one. I'd like to take full credit for it, but it was actually President Obama's idea originally, and I think we can implement it in the state of Illinois when I get elected and become governor in January 2019.
In a related issue when it comes to the Trump administration, because it's certainly around for another couple of years, as you know, when it comes to the violence issue, the president is sending Jeff Sessions to save the day here in Chicago on some of the issues here in terms of stop and frisk and all of that. So I want you to address that and the violence issues. But at the same time, how do you see yourself? You're no friend of President Trump's. We know that. And we know that Rauner is kind of unclear as far as what that relationship is. But I know where you stand. How will you work with a Trump administration, a Jeff Sessions coming to the city if this happens, if and when you're governor? When you have a federal government, you do have to work with them. What would you do?
100%. So, look, you want a governor who every day is thinking about what's best for the people of Illinois. And so that means that when we need things from the federal government, you want a governor who's proactive trying to get them. I want to remind you that Senator Dick Durbin has said that in the 4 years that Bruce Rauner has been governor, he has not received one phone call from the governor asking for anything from the federal government. Think about that. Dick Durbin is our leading federal legislator. He's the leader of our delegation. The governor should be calling him and asking for all the things that we need, and we need a lot. We send a lot of dollars to Washington, D.C., and we get fewer of them back from Washington, D.C., and that means you've got to have somebody who's advocating to get those dollars back. If Bruce Rauner isn't going to do it, he's got to go. You want somebody who's every day trying to bring private businesses to the state, trying to bring federal dollars to the state, and doing everything we can to help solve the challenges that we have across Illinois.
I want to talk about a fascinating moment to me in front of the Sun-Times board, which you guys recently did. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. But first, for those who say, wait a minute, I thought Pritzker didn't show up to the Tribune editorial board. So let me just, I'll ask you that question. Where were you when the board invited you in?
Well, we agreed to a set number of debates. You know, we actually put these out there very early on. Governor Rauner didn't respond for a long time. And then finally, I think when he saw that he was losing, he wanted to do 12 or 15. I can't remember how many he proposed. And we had already agreed to a certain number of these. I was glad to appear in front of the Sun-Times. I've been glad to appear at two debates already that have been televised. There's a third one coming. Those are great opportunities. And I've appeared before, I think almost, I will at the end, by the end here, have appeared before, I think, a dozen editorial boards across the state. So, you know, there's been plenty of opportunity for people to hear both of our views.
Actually, I actually thought the answer may have been scheduling because you spoke to the City Club that morning. But, you know, we have two main papers here, the Sun-Times, and I know Sun-Times friendlier to Democrats and Tribune, you know, is friendlier to Republicans. But any regrets about not at least giving your voice in that discussion that morning to hear what they had to say?
No, as I say, I mean, I've been open to speaking with editorial boards across the state and. And lots of them have heard my views, and you know I think the Tribune, you know, is now already you know, without interviewing me in any way, they already made their decision, and I don't think it was any surprise to anybody where they came out.
So in front of the Sun-Times, I was fascinated by the dialogue, if you can call it that, you and Rauner had about immigration. And I'm just going to turn it to you because you guys couldn't be more mm-hmm. different when it comes to your views of immigrants.
Yeah, you know, I Paul, I think you may know this, but, you know, I come from a family of refugees that if not for the generosity of the people of the state of Illinois, the security of the United States government, my family would have been killed. Refugees from a nation where Jews were being killed and arriving here with nothing. My great-grandfather was able to get a place to live from a human service agency and a good public education and taught English by a public school and then went to a public college, university. And so, you know, I think about the benefit that has inured to me and to my family these many generations of just the safety and security of being here and the opportunity to succeed. And I believe we need to offer that to all immigrants. Yes, there are undocumented people who live here in the state of Illinois, along with lots of documented immigrants and people who are first, second, third generation immigrants. And we need to protect our immigrant population, our immigrant families. Bruce Rauner thinks it's okay if Donald Trump comes hunting for people and threatening immigrant populations. I think that's wrong, and I will stand up against Donald Trump at every turn when they're trying to do that. I also would remind your listeners that immigrants to this nation and to this state are good for the economy of our state and nation. They are oftentimes the most entrepreneurial. Many of them are very, very hardworking. We need to protect them. And I think you want a governor who is leading that kind of an administration that is a welcoming state. One last thing, you know, the governor of Pennsylvania, when there were refugees going to Pennsylvania that had been vetted entirely by the federal government, he went to the airport and welcomed them. Our governor at the same time said, we don't want any refugees. Now, I think that's just wrong. I think you want a welcoming state. It's good for everybody in Illinois, and it's the right thing to do.
You know the Democrats are most likely behind you. I want you to be able to speak to independents and some Republicans who might be disenchanted. And so what do you do when they, on this issue, they say, but wait a minute, what about immigrants who have broken the law? And I don't mean that they're only here because they technically broke the law. I mean, immigrants who break the law, do we protect them as well?
Immigrants who, anybody who's broken the law needs to be held accountable. That's the answer to the question. I mean, Bruce Rauner, you know, today wanted to blame the violence in Chicago on immigrants. The fact is that we have a lot of violence in Chicago. There's no doubt about it. But in part, it's been because Bruce Rauner has done nothing to deal with the problem of the implements of violence that are on our streets, the illegal guns on our streets. And he also was unwilling to sign a gun dealer licensing bill so we would have background checks. You know, he hasn't done anything about bump stocks or high capacity magazines. He really, in addition to that, by not passing a budget for 2 years, mental health services went away, substance abuse treatment went away, and all of those things lead to an increase in violence in Chicago and across the state of Illinois. And it hasn't just been Chicago. I know many of your listeners may be in Chicago, but, you know, it happened in Springfield, it happened in Rockford. When you cut the services that people need, including violence interruption services on the streets, former gang members that are allowing kids in neighborhoods to get jobs, you know, they're actually working with them to keep them out of trouble. Those services were shut down. And when that happens, guess what? Gun violence across the state goes up.
What about people who say, look, I want to take a chance on JB. We need a change in the governor's office. But man, his relationship with, and you know what's coming, Mike Madigan, because he is not a beloved figure. The only people who elect Mike Madigan to office are the people who live in his district. And if he was my rep, he's very powerful. I'd take him too. But, you know, the ongoing House Speaker, what do you say? I know you claim independence from him. How can you guarantee people who might want to give you a try, but they're really wary of the relationship and maybe the, you know, here comes the spending relationship between you and Mike Madigan?
Well, you need to look at my own history of being independent. All the things that we've talked about today, about the 230,000 kids getting school breakfast in low-income school districts and thousands of kids getting quality preschool, building 1871 and creating jobs, the Illinois Holocaust Museum, I didn't do any of those things with Speaker Madigan. These are all things that I worked on as an independent leader. I provided a vision and leadership for those things. And then we all worked on them together, shoulder to the wheel, everybody that we gathered. And I think you want somebody in Springfield who knows how to bring people together, Republicans and Democrats, and who is willing to work with people, even that you don't like. I know Bruce Rauner, you know, doesn't like working with leaders in Springfield. He's been unwilling to sit across the table from them. And I think you want somebody who isn't going to leave the room without a budget. Because when you don't have a budget, you know, frankly, we have real problems. He's been the biggest deficit spender in the history of the state of Illinois because he was unwilling to reach a budget. Our backlog of bills went to $16 billion, and it cost the taxpayers $1 billion in late payment fees. We dropped 8 credit downgrades, 8, and 5 of our universities fell to junk status. That is Bruce Rauner's legacy, and it's because he's unwilling to work with people. Look, I'm going to stand up to the speaker when we disagree on something. I'm going to work with the speaker when we agree on something, but I'm not going to let the state go without a budget for any number of years. I pledge that I will make sure that we get the job done for the people of Illinois.
Quick follow-up on that. You know, Scott Drury stood up to the speaker. He lost his position on a committee. He didn't even get his clock, his Lucite clock, you know. So my question is, sometimes the speaker wants payback. In a battle between you and the speaker, how can you guarantee us that you win? I know you're the governor, but you win.
Well, again, this isn't about fist fights in the alley. This is about finding compromise and getting things done. Bruce Rauner had compromises presented to him, and he walked away from them. When you have disagreements with the legislative branch, when you're governor, you've got to work them out. Yes, as governor, I will be in charge, and I will be leading the state. But there is a legislative branch that you've got to get things done with. They're the ones who pass the laws. But I'll be proposing laws and asking them to pass laws that I believe in. We want to raise wages. We want to protect workers across the state. Those are things I'll be introducing legislation about. I want equal pay for equal work. I want to protect a woman's right to choose. Those are all things that I'll be working hard to make sure that the legislature stands up for. And in disagreements, you work them out. Frankly, that's something that Governor Rauner has been unwilling to do. Look at his unwillingness to work with the mayor of the city of Chicago. No matter who the mayor is, and whether you like him or you don't like him, man or woman, because we're about to elect a new one, I guess, in February or April, you've got to work with them. And when you're governor of the state of Illinois, that is your obligation. The biggest city in the state, frankly, all the cities in the state, that's the obligation of a governor to work together to get the job done.
On the Republican side, assuming that the leadership remains Senator Bill Brady and Representative Jim Durkin, do you currently have a relationship with those guys, and what's it like?
Yeah, it's a cordial relationship. Obviously, we're in the heat of a political campaign, so, you know, everybody's taking sides in their races, but But I have spoken with them privately and publicly. I know that I'll be able to work with them. I'm willing to work with them. And frankly, you know, even though I'm a Democrat, I know that there are Republicans that have good ideas and they should be brought to the table. I remember days in Illinois gone by now, seemingly, when Republicans and Democrats actually talked to one another to get big things done for the people of Illinois. I want to bring that back to Springfield.
As a closing statement, JB, as we're out of time, but I want to let you do this. Look, the polls, you're so far, listen, you're double digits ahead in the polls. You know that. You could go take a vacation and take a rest for a while. You're not going to do that. But you also know that in these last weeks before the election, those polls are going to tighten, and that's what they do. And so for folks, because people are starting, it's getting real. So in those last days when you've got the independents and folks saying, I've got to figure out which way to go, I still believe their issue with you is going to be, he's going to raise my taxes. I'm going to pay more money. I've heard everything you've said, but as a closing statement, you can address whatever you want, but I really think I'm focusing in on the thing that you will face, and that is people who just believe that with you at the helm and Mike Madigan as the speaker, our taxes are going up. We're going to just pay more money. You've addressed it. Take it a different way if you want, but that's what I think people need to hear in the closing days.
Sure, and let me address independents and Republicans as I give you these closing remarks. First of all, you know, because I've been very upfront, I want to lower taxes on the vast majority of the people in the state, income taxes, and lower property taxes, which I think has been a scourge on the state. That's been a priority, and I've talked about how we can do that. Bruce Rauner has not. He just says it like it's magic, but you actually have to have ideas about how to get it done. So that's number one. Number two, I'm a businessman who's actually created jobs, knows how to create jobs, knows how to help other people create jobs because I have a history of doing it. Bruce Rauner does not. In private business, he fired people. He would buy companies, fire people to make more money to get a higher profit. Fact is, I think you want somebody who knows how to market the state of Illinois, what's great about it, and that's our people. We have some of the most educated, dedicated workers in the entire world. And that is often what businesses are looking for. They are looking for a steady supply of skilled labor, of people who are graduating from great universities and community colleges who have the skills that businesses need. I know how to attract businesses. I've been doing it and creating jobs for an awful long time. And then finally, look at the complete and utter irresponsibility and instability that Bruce Rauner has wrought upon this state for the last 4 years. He's proven that he doesn't know how to run the state. He doesn't know how to work with people. Time and time again, he says one thing and he does another. I think we need to bring stability back to the state and someone who genuinely has in mind every single day, how do we lift up working families? How do we make this state greater than it already is? And how do we put it back on a trajectory so that job creation is number one, that we're lowering the cost of health care and lowering the cost of higher education for working families?
The website is jbpritzker.com. That is where I've certainly read it thoroughly. That is where all of your plans and issues that we've talked about here and then some that we didn't even have time to get into, they're all laid out there for people who want to do their homework, which they should do before they vote in early November. And, JB, I thank you for your time, your candor here in addressing the issues. Hope to see you on the TV show side one night soon. And, and good luck on the campaign trail. It gets tougher as it gets closer, right?
It's great to speak with you, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.